our mystery tour. Bruce was so excited about that, and he loves mysteries and secrets. We're going to talk today about the Urim and Thummim. It's going to take us a few minutes to unwrap some of the opinions of the Chazal and different commentators over the years, because it really is a strange piece in the puzzle of what exactly the Choshen was, what it had, and what was the mysterious way to get answers, and how would we interact with this strange thing called Urim v'Tumim and the Choshen, obviously, and everything about the stones. So let's first of all try and unwrap what other Mefarshim say. Obviously, Abarbanel is not silent about this topic, and he's got a very clear opinion of what it is, and he gives a very nice, I would say, a very good proof. He would make an amazing lawyer as well, Abarbanel, the way he makes his arguments. So first of all, Rashi says the Urim v'Tumim, it was something, because some Midrashim say no, the Urim v'Tumim is just once the stones were put onto the Choshen, that would make the put be put properly, that would make this enter
That's the
this.
Rambam,
Right, so we're going to get to that in a minute. Right, very good. The Rambam talks about that, correct? That's the Rambam, and the Abarbanel does not agree at all. So Rashi says it was basically the name of Shem Hashem. It was folded up and wrapped and tucked into some special pocket inside the Choshen, and that special Shem Hashem, the way it was written and the way it was done, would be called Urim v'Tumim, and that's what would ignite or give the energy or the ability for the Choshen to interact for specific questions. Soon we're going to touch on that, what those specific questions were. When were you allowed to use this mechanism, this very mystic mechanism to with the divine to get answers for specific questions? The Ibn Ezra apparently has a very interesting opinion. He says the Urim v'Tumim were some sort of a shapes of all the mazalot, of all kinds of different shapes of mazalot made out of silver or gold. The Ramban, not the Rambam, the Ramban brings the Ibn Ezra and says that absolutely, that can't be. He didn't say anything, the Ramban says, about the Ibn Ezra. And he says, the Ramban likes what Rashi says, right? It's some sort of a divine, I don't even know how to, it's a divine element within the Choshen. And it was, and how does the Ramban prove that? He says it was not mentioned at all in any of the instructions or any of the items that the artist, the Umanim, would do. Right? It's not there in some sort of to-do list in the future in the Mishkan or in the Mikdash, right? And there isn't even the words Vayas, just like you have Vayas et ha'efod or Vayas et choshen ha'mishpat, which obviously have to do with action and doing. There's no word Vayas to do, to create about the Urim v'Tumim. That alone should raise the question of if it's not Vayas, so what is it? But it had to be that it was, and it's not, obviously, it's not some sort of something that the Bezalel would do, because the Ketuv, the Torah, would have lengthened, said this is how he did it, and he made it out of this or that. And even if it's not written like that, it would say maybe Vasita, Urim v'Tumim, Kasher. Remember last week we spoke about this? Kasher hor'a otcha bahar. If the Torah didn't want to go into details, it would say, yeah, make this thing called Urim v'Tumim and do it like I showed you in that hologram, that 3D model that I showed you up in the mountain. On top of all of that, there are also.
It does say in Shemot, you shall place in the Choshen of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. So it
Exactly.
is something that clearly is either you're making it or God makes it or someone makes it. Meaning it's not figurative, it has to be a real thing.
But it's interesting, regardless of what you just said, that the Rambam doesn't mention it. The Rambam himself, the great Rambam, does not mention it. And not only that, in Ilchot Mikdash, the Rambam doesn't mention Urim v'Tumim. Obviously, the Rambam doesn't miss things, right? And it was intentional. And he doesn't even mention the Urim v'Tumim. And Mikan Atalamed, this is, you could derive that the Rambam didn't think that was a separate thing or entity of any sort. On top of that, the Ramban says there's no hey yediyah. There's no hey yediyah in any of the other items of the Kohen or of the Kelim, but only in the Urim and Tumim. Right? Ha Urim v'Tumim. V'asita Aron you have, v'asita Shulchan. It doesn't say v'asita et ha'aron or et ha'shulchan. Only in the Urim and Tumim, it says, right, that you did, yeah, v'asita et ha'urim v'hatumim. So if the Torah mentions that, obviously, if you want to decipher and decode that in the Torah's language, and it's very, very important for us to be sensitive to the way the
Yeah.
Torah writes things in the words that Torah uses and the letters. And so Vasita, right? Then probably Ha'urim v'Hatumim means it's something that was known, it was given, it was passed. It's
I
not
think
just.
in Vayikra, it says, and the Moshe placed the Choshen upon Aaron, and he put the Urim v'Tumim into the Choshen. So it's as if there's a double fold and there's a pocket. That's one way. Or why the Rambam says is just put like on the breastplate itself. Right on the stones that represents
Right. So basically, you're holding by many Mefarshim, including the Abarbanel, that there's no way that this was nothing. It had to be something. Was it a thing? Was it a some sort of other mysterious element that Moshe was taught, Moshe was shown, and then Moshe passed it on? Because we know David HaMelech also had some sort of ephod, a vest made out of cloth that he used. We'll get to that in a moment. It's just very interesting that something so basic, so fundamental to the Choshen, like the Urim v'Tumim, it became such a mysterious component that we need, we have so many different conflicting opinions, to the extent that some would say that it was absolutely nothing. It was just the actual Choshen where the stones would make it into, now it's Urim v'Tumim, as opposed to actually having something that you would add, right? And that's very, I find that extremely interesting
And
and
since the stones, according to the Rambam, light up in a coded message, one could look at it that way also. There's something that's activated within the stones in some way.
yeah, right. They
Stones
were
themselves are.
activated, and we'll get right. But there were certain conditions when those stones could have been activated. It was only done in Beit Rishon. We'll answer that maybe if we get to that. Why it wasn't? Why didn't it work? You know, in Beit Sheni, it only worked in Beit Rishon. And when was this activated, and how? We don't know exactly. We have a lot of, insinuations in the Torah and through the Mefarshim and Chazal of how this worked,
It's
but.
interesting that all of our heady-hitting all-star team of Rishonim, they disagree with each other. You'd think some of them would be on this side and some on that side. Like they'd have a definite opinion, but no one seems to know. And they don't say they don't know. They just say, I think this, I think that, and it's all different opinions.
Correct, correct. And we obviously some things we're not going to know until the day comes, and then hopefully we'll be able to reach the conclusion of what exactly this is. And again, so it doesn't say v'asita Urim v'Tumim, and the only place we have here yediyah is with Urim v'Tumim. So it had to be that this was some sort of a known secret divine component that Moshe was taught, a
That
little bit like.
Torah is full of things that don't go to sorcerers, don't try to predict the future in many ways like the Gentiles. And here we're given a method to actually do it. It's kind of like we're the Jewish way to get future revuas or hints. You think we would have none of that. Like, you don't, it's not part of Judaism, but apparently it is. We're doing really almost exactly like the peoples around us in our own prescribed fashion. They went to oracles, we go to Urim v'Tumim.
Right, because you got to remember that God, the Torah, doesn't fight human nature and doesn't go against the inclinations of and the powers of what drove Am Yisrael in those days. You couldn't completely ignore that. That's why the Rambam does such an amazing job in trying to show how the Korbanot was a way to angle that unbelievable drive that people had in those days for sacrificing.
It's not just
Obviously.
those days. Today, people have mekubalim and
Right.
rebbes, and apparently, some people like that idea. It speaks to them to this very day.
I think it's basic. People need, they want to dump or throw their decision-making process and reach conclusions, have somebody else take the responsibility for making a decision. You know, making decisions in this world is tough. Knowing which path to take and what to do is not easy. And specifically, the Choshen would actually help in those specific issues, not on an individual subjective, but on a klal, an Am Yisrael. You would ask the Urim HaTumim on things that had to do with the Tzibur. And we'll get to that in a moment. But yes, it's a Yetzer. Torah doesn't go against that. The Torah gives you a way to angle it in a pure way that is kosher. When I say kosher, I mean in a way that doesn't take you out of balance and doesn't overdo it to an extent where you don't live a responsible, healthy, balanced life, where you throw everything to I don't know, to that kind of mystic search all your life and don't take any responsibility for yourself. That's why, like you're saying, in this specific case of the Choshen, you would ask the Kohen not for your specific needs, but for the Tzibur. So yes, there are ways to angle those inclinations that we have on a psychological, social level, but you would angle them in a very healthy way, and that's what the Torah did in many cases. And you can also say on a Kabbalistic level, also there's a need for that. Man, any man, I don't know if you would agree with that or not, but any man has a need to connect to the divine and has a need to know what his responsibilities and obligations are, and to know to get that backwind to know that he's going in the right path. That's very, very important. Regardless of what other people did, so they did it through Avodah Zarah and through statues and other elements that confused, right, the statue with the God Almighty and the Creator, and that, you know, that's why Avodah Zarah, Avodah Elilim is so dangerous. It's very, very easy to get confused. Okay, so let's move on. So the Hey Idiyah, we said that the Ramban said that the letters would light up, right? You would ask the question. Soon we'll touch on what were the conditions in which you're allowed to ask the Kohen. Only a Kohen could have been asked, the Kohen Gadol. The letters would have lit, and the Kohen, through Ruach HaKodesh, and that's also very important, only through Ruach HaKodesh, would know how to put those letters together. And the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, there are 13 levels of connecting to the divine. Ruach HaKodesh is under Nevuah. Nevuah is the highest. And under that, you have Ruach HaKodesh. And under that, you've got something called Bat Kol. Bat Kol was more prominent in Beit Sheni time. They didn't have Nevuah, but almost, you know, that it started slowly started to subside. But Bat Kol was more dominant. Ruach HaKodesh was what would help the Kohen add put those letters together. Interesting is what the Gaon Mivilna says, a little bit like the Rambam. He brings the story about Chana going to Eli, and Eli sees this woman who looks a little confused, a little drunk. And according to the Gaon Mivilna, this is very interesting, he asked the Urim V'Tumim specifically about her. And it's interesting because he shouldn't have done that. Again, there are three conditions and times in which you're allowed to ask the Urim V'Tumim. One is that you have to be a king or a Beit Din Gadol, right? That's the guy, the entity that asks has to be the king or the Beit Din, or somebody else that the crowd, the Tzibul, needs. The second condition has to be that the question itself has to be of a public character, right? It has to be something that inflicts and has impact on the Tzibul, and not a question about a subject. And the third thing is that the person who's being asked has to be the Kohen Gadol. So you have Eli, and he's asking the Choshen, is this woman, who is this woman, and what is she? So he saw the letters light up, Shin Kaf Resh Hei. And instead of understanding and putting those letters together, the Gaon Mivilna says properly, just interesting as an anecdote, this story. She answers him, right? She says he thinks that she's drunk, and she tells him, "Lo Adoni, ain't right. Lo Adoni, ki ishak shat ruach anochi, right? Shat ruach, right? He put the letters together, shikora, but the letters can also mean kshera because he didn't have ruach hakodesh. He didn't put the letters together, and he got the word shikora instead of kshera, and that
That
was
seems
the answer."
against the rule of asking for a national issue. There's a woman they're davening, so maybe he misinterpreted, because that's not the type of question you'd think.
Exactly. Correct. Correct.
Wanted to come
Correct.
with the
I mean,
Rav Gaon.
right. It's very, very unclear why he would do that, why the Gra thinks he did that, but it's still interesting. The Rambam.
I just have in notes that Rav Gaon, Benny, is an earlier person, long before Rambam. He also says those are just the stones put on the Choshen. So the Rambam didn't make it up. He's getting it from Chai Gaon. It doesn't say where Chai Gaon got it, but it's a way of interpreting the verse.
I want to show you. Tell me if you see this on the book itself. You see this well. Do you see this?
It's blurry.
That's blurry. Okay. You see it now?
It's
Oh, okay. So
blurry.
basically you see here, you see the Urim and Tumim and that special pocket that was under the Choshen where the name would appear. So the Rambam, like you said, Bruce, before, basically thought that it was nothing. The Choshen, he doesn't even mention it in Ilchot Mikdash. And the actual stones were the Urim and Tumim. The stones set properly on the Choshen were the Urim and Tumim. And they would light, obviously, and he believes that. The Abarbanel obviously brings the people who say that and the Rambam. And he says it can't be because, like you said before, it says, Venatata el Choshen HaMishpat et HaOrim VeHaTumim. And then it says, Vayasem alav et HaChoshen, Vayiten el HaChoshen et HaOrim VeHaTumim, Vayiten Venatata. Twice, it had to be that you're talking about something specific. You can't just ignore those words and say they're nothing. It says Venatata and says Vayiten about the Urim and Tumim. So how can you ignore that? So Moshe had to put something inside. Moshe himself put something, it tucked something inside the Choshen. So obviously, that according to the Abarbanel, that it had to be that that something was the Shem Hashem, and that's what Moshe put into the pocket, specifically into the pocket of the Choshen, right? And then we said those are conditions in which you can ask. The Beit Sheni says the Abarbanel, you didn't have the Urim and Tumim for a few reasons. The first, because we only had two tribes left from the 12 tribes. And in order for you to have the Urim and Tumim work, you had to have all the tribes together for the Kohen to have Ruach HaKodesh, because his Ruach HaKodesh came from the Shvatim. Also, the word Shivtei Shurun, some people claim the word Shivtei Shurun and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were also letters that were somehow set and put onto the Choshen. Those were part of the letters that would light. And those are the letters that the Kohen would then derive the answer to the question. The question had to be usually very specific, right? Miyale, who should be the one to lead the war? And then the letters from Yehuda would come up, and then Ya'aleh would come up through the different letters of the Shvatim, and the Kohen would put that together. The second answer, why in Beit Sheni you didn't have it, was you didn't have the Shemot HaKadoshim. The Shemot HaKadoshim were another element on the Choshen, and they didn't exist on Beit Sheni. They were nignezu, they were put away, they were hidden somewhere together with the Choshen. And that's why when it says to Moshe, Venatata means Moshe himself had to be the ones. Only he was the one to put in the Choshen, those secret elements that would ignite and give the energy for the Choshen to actually work properly. And when Moshe died already and wasn't there to put it in, and the Choshen was ganuz, obviously everything else didn't work. The Abarbanel asks also what the Moreh Nevuchim says, right? How is it that Yoshua himself, right? He was a Navi. Why did he have to use? This is an interesting question. So we understand what the Choshen was. We understand that Urim and Tumim, according to the Abarbanel, was something that he would tuck actually inside the Choshen. The question is, if Nevuah is higher than Ruach HaKodesh, why did Yoshua use the Choshen? He was a Navi. Why did he have to use that?
I think being a Navi meant that God spoke to the Navi, but when you wanted the question to God, you came as a representative of the nation with the Kohen Gadol, perhaps, and you get to ask, as opposed to waiting to hope to that God would answer you. This was like a direct line that worked.
Excellent. Excellent. That's excellent. Anyone else want to maybe answer why it's a very good answer? And Barbara will talk about that. Anyone else want to guess why Yoshua actually used the Choshen and the Urim and Tumim instead of using his Nevuah? So very, very nice, Bruce. So basically, Hazal and Abarbanel derives from everything that he knows, and he talks about it a lot. Remember about Moshe Rabbeinu having to prepare. Nevuah needs preparation. You can't just get Nevuah anytime you want, besides Moshe Rabbeinu, who was able to actually get Nevuah without a lot of preparation, right? So, but Urim v'Tumim, you would get an immediate answer, right? Urim v'Tumim would also, interestingly enough, Nevuah can be something that can change. Even though Nevuah is divine, the decree and the future telling of the Nevuah can change because human beings have the ability through their Bechira Chofshit to do tshuva, for instance. And then the tshuva would actually change their persona, would change their fate, and the whole deterministic attitude, the channel in which that person, the people would go, would be canceled because of the koach, the unbelievable power of the tshuva. But the choshen is very, very specific, and whatever the answer is brought by the choshen, by the urim tumim, right, would be absolutely complete, feta complete. It would never change. The answer would be final, right? And that's why Yeshua had to ask the urim tumim. Obviously, for nevuah, he needs a chana, and the answer from the nevuah, even if he did prepare himself, could be changed by different circumstances of the people. You have a very urgent matter. You need an answer, yes or no, or a name of a person who needs to do something. That doesn't come from Nevuah. That has to come immediately from.
So who was allowed to ask questions of the Urim Turman? I mean, if I walked into the base and make this and say, hey, I got a question for the Urim Turman, what's going
to
happen?
It had to be a king. So it had to be a king or Beitin. No one else. No individual was allowed to ask the Kohen the question. It had to be a king. The Beit Din or somebody else who's extremely, extremely
army submitted. Generals?
No.
No, that, I like that author. Maybe a very important person who a lot of people rely on and need him to lead a certain decision strategically for the entire people. He would be able to ask the Kohen. Obviously, the Kohen Agadol.
It appears that the only questions allowed to be asked were things that would benefit the Am as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. אם מצאת למלחמה, who would be lead the מלחמה? לכן אין חזרה ממנה, אבל נבואה היא על העתיד. Right? It's not about, it's about a far future. ואם קודם בינתיים דיבר שבגלרו בטלה הנבואה, למשל, אם חוזרים ישראל בתשובה, just like we said,
I mean, Yeshua, for example, when they came to the Sin of Achan, they used the lottery. They didn't use the, they could have just asked the Ur of Baturim. Why not?
Don't know.
I mean, it seems like you got this tool. Why aren't they using it?
I don't know. But apparently it was very interesting. I find this to be very interesting. And because apparently Nevuah is not enough in order to guide the people and help us as a people navigate certain decisions, big strategic public decisions, and we would need that.
They're in a trance when they get the Nevuah. They're not there. It's like they get the Nevuah, except for Moshe, they're all in a trance then, so they're not 100,000%. They're all between, you see the answer right away.
Right, exactly. Correct. הנה בנבואה, says the Abarbanel, יסגו סיפורי הדברים שכבר עברו, or things that, okay, so we understand Abarbanel's opinion about that. להשיב, אבל היה בלבד עניין ההורים והתומים, להשיב אמרים אמת, לשואל על ענייני הציבור, אם יעשה דבר מה או לא יעשה. And just like you're all saying, I mean, it's very logical. It makes a lot of sense that the Urim Tumim would be a tool to help us decide right or left, black or white. Yehuda or Reuven, right? Those are very specific. Lo she'yagid ha'kohen gadol b'orim v'tumim davar mima she'yeh mibli she'ela, right? There had to be a question. It wasn't Urim that Kohen would think of a question and ask, just like Eli did, just like the Gra, Gomi Vilna claims that Eli did. It had to be a question that would come from the public and from the king or from the Beit Din, and the Kohen would answer. Kmo she'ya omer ha'navi pa'im rabot, ko hira'ini Hashem u'modia ma she'yeh mibli she'yishalu mimena. What does he say here? Interesting. Ela achrei ha'sheila, haya ha'kohen gadol noten mishpat katzar. Very short, specific answer. V'tshuva charuta b'dibur katzar. It wouldn't be a whole long answer, right? with stories and reasons. There wouldn't be any reasons, there wouldn't be any explanations. It would be short and to the point. Kach ye or lo ye. This is who should go, black or white, left or right. Ubavush is there, yeah. Think of that power, think of that strength, think of the confidence we would have and get through knowing what is the right thing to do, as opposed to scrambling and being puzzled about what you believe and think and hope that the divine wants from you, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Ubavush is there, yeah. Koach agadat kohen gadol ba'orim v'tumim asher b'choshen, lachen ma'bchina hazot nikra choshen ha'mishpat. Ki hagadat ha'atid hu mishpat. That's how it was called, choshen ha'mishpat, and not just choshen. It had the ruling, the mishpat, the actual final word. And that is very, very powerful and interesting. B'nei melechet ha'choshen v'chomo haya kemelechet ha'efod. The actual doing, the action of actually creating, the melacha of doing it was like the vest itself. V'omnam b'shiru amar. Then he goes, Abarbanel goes exactly to how big each component was and how many rows and lines were of the Shvatim themselves. I find it very interesting that it wasn't just the letters of the Aleph Bet, but it was the actual names of the Shvatim. Now, Abarbanel goes into that as well. The Shvatim are a fundamental pillar and foundation of who we are by DNA.
Did we lose him?
Many, we lost him. Well, we didn't lose him. I mean, he's here.
No, we lost him. It lost not only his video. I think he's not really connected now.
Yeah, I'll send him a message.
You know, Josephus argues that the Urim V'Thummim was still around during the Maccabim, which I find very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, though it appears to have been lost with Bavel.
It's busy. All these technological stuff that we don't have. I presume it's some kind of technology. We don't know what it is.
As opposed to just a miracle, huh?
Well, there's no reason to presume a natural miracle. It's something natural. What does supernatural mean? It's like, you know.
Well, careful, Bruce. It's not a Ouija board.
No, it's not a Ouija board. That's how they're out there speaking like a Ouija board, but it's not.
Pleasure. Back.
Hi, sorry about that technical glitch. I apologize.
No problem. This happens. If you would have asked Urim V'Thummim properly, that wouldn't have
right.
happened.
I would know. I would know how much time was left. Right. Okay, so just have 2 minutes. So what I was saying is that it's very, very important to Abarbanel, and he talks about this tirelessly, also about Yaakov and his children, how it wasn't just by chance that Yaakov had 12 children and that Avraham's seed was, you know, Avraham was chosen and his seed was you know, promised everything. There's a certain DNA and a certain characteristic to each one of the Shvatim. And together, you know, this is what comprises, this is who we are. This is what defines Am Yisrael. And as that being, as that defines us, the letters of their names and everything we are, that's what should have been used, and not just any, you know, Aleph Bet, you know, just the Aleph Bet letters on the Choshen itself, because it was important also for the Kohen to remember that. Also, these Shliach Tzibur, remember, the names of the Shvatim were everywhere. They're on the stones, they're on the two sides of his shoulders. Also, the names of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were there. Also, the words Shivtei Yishurun. The Kohen has to remember, together with the tzitz on his head, Kodesh LaHashem, to be humble, and also, you know, everything about his clothing, also the bells, right, where he walked. Never forget you're a messenger. The clothes are very, you know, luxurious and very fancy, and the, you know, the clothes of a king, and you feel very important. But don't forget that you're a shaliach of Am Yisrael. Who are Am Yisrael? It's the DNA of the Shivtei Yisrael. It's the DNA of our founding fathers, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And through them, you get the divine connection. Through them, you ask and get an answer through the letters itself. It's very symbolic and indicative. And it reminds us of who we are as a people and what the Kohen should always remember. Maybe that's also why in Bayit Sheni, that's so important what Abba Benel said, the first answer, why Bayit Sheni we didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, because we didn't have all of the Shvatim. It's extremely critical for us to be together, united as a whole. One of the Shvatim brings another important component. Anyway. All right, there's a lot of noise in the background. I wish everybody a continuous a good week. And Shenizkeh to Binyan HaMikdash and Urim V'Tumim and everything that came with it. Yom Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry again. Bye-bye.